My dear brothers and sisters, both the first reading and the gospel speak to us of the Word of God, which comes down from heaven to earth to produce a rich fruit. We know that the Word of God has power. So why is it that we don't always see a rich fruit? Today's parable of the sower and the seed speaks to us about some of those reasons. But let's first turn to St. Paul in the second reading and find some clues there. St. Paul speaks of the sufferings of the present being as nothing in comparison to the glory to come. And with that, he also speaks about the labor pains. So what is it that the labor pains are trying to bring forth? A new life. That's what labor is all about. And what you and I are trying to bring about in our lives is a new life, the life of Christ. That the Word of God planted in our hearts in baptism might grow and flourish and become a new life of grace, setting behind us the old life of sin. But that's a process, a painful process, like the labor process. Bringing to birth new life comes at a cost. And that's why St. Paul wants to remind us the sufferings of the present are nothing in comparison to the glory that is to come. The glory of the risen life of Christ that he shares with us. So let's look at how our Lord in the parable of the sower speaks to us about some of those things that become obstacles to this new life coming to birth. Because we know that the power of the Word is not lacking. It's the receptivity that the soil that the seed falls upon is not capable of receiving it to produce that fruit. So you and I, in our discipleship, need to turn our attention to the ways that we can make that soil of our hearts more rich to receive the Word of God and to produce that fruit. It's an ongoing process. It's not a one moment. So then, the Lord starts by describing seed that falls upon the path. We can speak about this obstacle as the clueless Christian. That is, our Lord explains that the seed falls upon the path and then it's taken away. This is the person that didn't know what they had. And certainly there are plenty of Christians who don't understand the treasure of faith. There are plenty of Christians who think about Jesus as a distant historical figure who gave us some pretty stories. And basically, if you boil it all down to what does it mean to follow him, you could sum it up by saying, be nice. This is the clueless Christian. This is the person that doesn't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and he comes to us. He's not remote in the past. That sacraments are not things we do, but sacraments are encounters with the divine. That you and I, by baptism, have been incorporated into the mystical body of Christ, and our true home is in heaven. And now you and I are engaged in a mighty struggle between good and evil. In our own, there's no way we would succeed. It's only by the power of God within us. The clueless Christian also thinks that Jesus is just someone nice to have around and doesn't understand that we are sinners. And because of the sin, both that we inherit from Adam and our own sins that we add, you and I are destined for eternal punishment. But that Jesus Christ comes to save us and promises his eternal life, Jesus is not a luxury in my life, not someone nice to have around. I have a desperate need for Jesus. The clueless Christian doesn't understand, has tamed the gospel, thinks that Jesus speaks to us of suggestions rather than commandments, tries to tailor the gospel in a way to make it comfortable. The clueless Christian has a faith that is easily taken away. My dear brothers and sisters, I think we have a pretty well-educated parish. I think we have a group of parishioners who know their faith fairly well. And yet at the same time, I have to say, the Word of God that comes to us in the Scriptures is not as well known to us as it should be. And as Saint Jerome said so many centuries ago, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. You and I, studying the Catechism, still risk being clueless Christians if we don't have a deep connection with the Word of God itself in the Bible. There is room for improvement here on all of our parts. We don't want to be the clueless Christian. So don't be the one that when you go to look for the Bible, you don't remember what shelf it's on, or that you have to dust off that layer of dust that has accumulated since the last time you touched it. Let's get in touch with the power of the Word of God to free us from the ignorance that would allow us not to appreciate the treasure we have been given. The next obstacle in our discipleship's growth, Jesus describes as the seed that falls on rocky ground. We could call this the fair weather Christian. Jesus says the sun comes up with its heat and it scorches it because it doesn't have roots. It's shallow. And therefore it withers away. This is the fair weather Christian. When everything is going smoothly, no problem. It's easy to believe in God. It's easy to speak to the Lord. It's easy to offer gratitude. But what about when there isn't smooth sailing? What happens then? What happens when there's opposition to the Christian faith? For Jesus said he is a sign of contradiction, and then you and I, therefore, are also set in opposition to the world. We are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, which means we have to point the world in a different direction than the way it tends. What happens when that opposition costs us? Costs us popularity, costs us friends, costs us family members, costs us jobs. What happens? Are we able to stay the course? Or do we not have roots that are deep enough? There are those who preach a prosperity gospel. Be with God and he will bless you with abundance. Yes, but those blessings aren't always material blessings. He didn't promise an easy life here on earth. But some preachers have distorted the words of our Lord and the meaning of the gospel because they don't understand the mystery of suffering. They don't have their faith rooted in the cross. As St. Paul would say, I only know Christ and Him crucified. The way to glory is through the cross. And the fair-weather Christian doesn't understand that, and therefore the fair-weather Christian is blocked from attaining glory because they wither away, not able to understand the Lord who said, if you would be my disciple, pick up your cross and come after me. And sometimes that cross is the opposition of the world, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a personal trial. It's a struggle within us. When we suffer, and we say all of a sudden, where are you, God? Why don't you help me? Why don't you rescue me? You have all this power. Why don't you fix the problems in my life? The fair-weather Christian resents suffering and rebels against God in times of darkness because the fair-weather Christian doesn't understand the mystery of the cross. We need to sink our roots deep into the passion of Christ, and only then will we attain to glory. The third obstacle that greets us in our discipleship, we could term this the half-hearted Christian or the crownless Christian. What do I mean by crownless? You and I have been promised a crown of glory in heaven. Christ is a king, and He wants to share His kingdom with us. But the half-hearted Christian isn't interested in that crown. The half-hearted Christian says, boy, it's really good right here, isn't it? The half-hearted Christian throws him or herself into the goodness of creation and forgets the Creator. We live in a society that is consumed with materialism and sensuality. And all too often these become our gods. And sometimes we have to say, oh yeah, I have Jesus, but Jesus is right next to my career. And sometimes Jesus gets eclipsed by my career or by my passions, living in the sensual pleasures of the world. We want to have Jesus there, but we throw ourselves into these other things. Somehow Jesus isn't enough for us all by Himself. We think we have to have other things as well. You and I forget that our true home is in heaven. And as St. Paul reminds us, the sufferings of the present world are nothing compared to the glory that is to come. Let's not try to make heaven on earth. Let's keep focused on the journey. Let's not see the goodness of God's creation as the goal, but rather a reflection of the beauty of what heaven is. We need to keep our purpose. We need to persevere in walking the journey and not get comfortable here and now. We don't want to forget the crown that awaits us. My dear brothers and sisters, at various times, all three of these challenges come to us. Let's recognize them. Let's recognize that discipleship has to be an ongoing process and that it comes at a cost, like the pains of labor. But this new life that awaits us in union with Christ is worth it. The glory of God wants to shine through our hearts. Let's persevere and let that word of God that has been planted in us in baptism bear a rich fruit. and abiding fruit in holiness.